coming out of the Junos is news that the government, the federal government, is going to spend an additional $32 million on the Canada Music Fund over the next 2 years. And they just said it is a tough go for Canadian musicians right now. And the stories out of it is A, live music venues dying. B, music festivals also clinging to life the past couple years. And what's their future? Can you afford to go? Why are they not booming? Well, here to explain it to us is Moshe Lander, Calgary resident, but also economist at Concordia University in Montreal, a little bit of all the country. Thanks for joining us, Moshe.
Hello.
So you live here, but you're also a professor in Montreal. You have a bi-coastal life.
I do, and we won't talk about my Halifax experience and all points in between either, so yes.
Oh my goodness. Okay. $32 million going to support Canadian musicians. That's a lot of money, honey. So why do we need all of this money supporting Canadian talent?
So that's funny that you say it's a lot of money, honey. I was going to say it's barely a drop in the bucket.
Really?
Yeah. So you think $32 million over 2 years, that's mm-hmm. $16 million a year. Let's say that there's 10 to 12 major Canadian cities that would be looking to host festivals, music events, let alone the smaller cities, right? So you're now talking about maybe about $100,000, $150,000 per city per year for just 2 years, and there's no promise of money thereafter. So what are we talking about? Is that money that's going to be spent on infrastructure? Is it going to be spent on venues? Is it going to be spent on companies or festivals? And I don't know that that's a lot of money when you're talking about what concert tickets go for these days and what's needed to put on a concert that's going to make people want to come out of their homes and experience it. So I actually thought that it was very little money, and it was more just a symbolic act to just say, hey, we support Canadian music, but we'll fill in the details later.
No, you're right. And I guess it's tomato, tomato, because I was thinking when we're talking about how people can't afford housing and people are spending less on healthy groceries, then you think $32 million seems like a lot of money. But when you break it down by the cities, by venues, by people, maybe it's not a lot.
Yeah, and I think if the problem is the affordability issue that we're having, right, this is not going to make the difference, right? Because who are you going to bring in when you're spending $100,000 on a venue, right? Like, this is not Taylor Swift territory where she's going to say, oh, well, now I want to come to Calgary, right? Mm-hmm. So that's not happening. So we're talking probably about that it's going to have to be spent on Canadian talent, Canadian artists, Canadian concerts and performances and things like that. And those types of things are going to be lower cost anyway on the ticket scale, although those tickets are now becoming pretty expensive too. So I'm not sure that this is going to help to defray the cost of actually attending the event. It's merely going to be putting on the event. And so is this still going to be the type of thing that's going to motivate people to say, all right, now I'm willing to part with a certain amount of groceries or living expenses, or I'm going to defer that cost for my kids and instead go to this concert? I don't know that this is necessarily going to be money that's going to find its way into the average Canadian's pocket. I think it's going to end up in the talent's pocket, or probably likelier the promoter's pocket. And it's more a subsidy that's going to go to them. And we're going to be outraged in 2 years when we see how this money was spent.
Moshe Lander, when the story came out today, they said, you know, we need to support these artists because live music venues and festivals are struggling. From an economist's point of view, are those the same thing?
No. Festival, right, is an accumulation of live events, right? Mm-hmm. Live events all in one. And so, you know, I've used this specific station in particular to rail against the idea of, like, hosting large-scale events when it comes to, say, the Olympics or when it comes to hosting the World Cup. Yeah. You know, it's usually money that's not well spent. If you want to do it over a period of decades, then you can recoup your money, because if you're going to build that huge infrastructure project and it's going to last you over years and years and years, you will eventually recoup it. But all that's happening here is a two-year commitment. So even if they spend a lot of money trying to splash and dash a facility and make it look a little more modern, okay, so does that mean that's the end of their commitment for the next 20 years? I don't know that this is going to create then the desire for long-lasting festivals. If it's going to bring in the occasional concert here or there, I think there also is an element that it's a zero-sum game. Calgary steals something from Red Deer, Red Deer steals something from Edmonton, Edmonton from Calgary, and are we just passing the buck around? And again, is this money that's going to end up in some promoter's hands rather than in the concert-goers' benefit long-term? I'm not entirely sure that's going to happen here. So even there, there is a difference between an event and a festival. Mm-hmm. I just think that this is probably going to be more geared towards an event. Festivals take years to build up in credibility too.
Well, and the other interesting thing about money is when you talk about spending money on art and money on culture and money on music, there is buying the big ticket show at Calgary, you know, where it's the Saddle Dome or whatever that venue is eventually going to be called, versus going to your tiny little place in Calgary and seeing someone who's very low on the famous scale or someone who's just building up their repertoire. So you also have to decide what artist are you going to support? Where is that money going to go?
Yeah, and of course, there's always the counterculture bit. Like, I always like supporting acts before they become famous, and as soon as they become famous, then it's like, okay, you're now the world's, you're not mine, right? Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of places, right? The local bar scene is great for that, and Calgary, of course, is no stranger to that, especially during things like Stampede Time, where you get huge number of venues that are going to have live music. And in the summertime in Canada in general, that is the local music scene where you can get a tremendous amount of exposure. I don't see that this money is for that. And so I think that in order to be able to fill the medium to larger size venues, you first got to, you know, pay your dues at the smaller scale. And so what is it that this country is doing to support that part of the music scene rather than kind of that mid-stage area? The higher stage area, the venues already exist, right? Yeah. Whether it's the Saddle Dome, the new event center, and of course, every city has something large like that. So I don't know that the money needs to be spent there. It's really, how are you going to build up the small scale? And it's almost like a large volume that you're going to have, you know, 1 in 100 become success. So if you can spread your money over thousands and thousands of acts or thousands and thousands of venues, then you have the risk that, or not the risk, the potential benefit that you can get those one or two stars that emerge from that, that the rest of the world can share.
We're speaking right now with Moshe Lander, economist from Concordia University in Montreal. The last time we talked, we were talking about the Swiftonomics of the Taylor Swift tour, what she maybe could bring to a city and what she actually doesn't. Do you think we could look into something this summer called Nickelbackonomics?
Only if we have a time machine to go back to the 1990s, okay. Right? So they did have their time and place. I don't know, maybe I'm a little too past it, but I think, you know what, they're probably going to be great for the nostalgia tour. Mm-hmm. And like all of these acts that for my time, you know, it's the Eagles and the Rolling Stones that continue to make millions and millions past their best before date. I think the Nickelbackonomics might be able to cater to that group that's now in their 50s.
Has anyone actually said the phrase Nickelbackonomics before?
I don't think so. Trademark it, and you can get a little bit of maybe that $32 million coming your way then every time you use it or somebody else uses it.
Okay, last question for an economist. What do you think coming to Calgary is a sweet ticket spot for sort of a well-known coming to the Dome show? Like, could you put a dollar amount on that in 2024?
So if you're coming in, you have to also steal them away from Edmonton. Mm-hmm. And that's the key, right? It has to be something where you sign them exclusively that they're going to come to Calgary and just continue on to Winnipeg or continue on to Toronto and not look at anywhere else in Alberta. Because the way that you make your money on these concerts is that you have to draw in tourists. And so if now you're splitting your options between Edmonton and Calgary, it's a race to the bottom then. And so the ability to make money is going to be very, very limited. So it has to be an act that's really, really Calgary-based or Calgary-centric and something that Edmonton would be interested in. If you can find that one, let me know. I'll happily go to the concert with you.
Okay. Good to know. That's Moshe Lander, economist on the state of, you know, the money of music festivals and music venues right now on the news that the federal government is going to give $32 million to the Canada Music Fund over the next 2 years to support artists in quote-unquote difficult times. Thanks so much for joining us, Moshe.
Anytime.